Dalet Tammuz, Wednesday the 2nd of July, Rabbi Moshe Levi, Good Eyes.
I usually like to start with a joke or a story, but Klal Yisrael's bizarre. All over the world, yesterday was the Levaya. It's tough times. And we need to know, how do we respond? Obviously in Eretz Yisrael, the army has to take necessary precautions and show certain things that they're not pushovers. But how do we over here, how do we respond? What do we hear in London? What do we do? I don't think it's a coincidence that in this week's parsha, one of the brachas from Bilam, Heinam Levodo Yishkon, Farshim tell us, Heim, Hey and Nun. Every letter has its zug, every letter has its partner. Aleph has tough. Aleph has tough and base, each, they all equal 10. But hey is all by itself. Doesn't have a partner. Same thing with Nun. Nun is 50. You have 10 and 90. You have 20 and 80. They equal 50. They're shalem, they're complete. But then comes the Nun. And again, it has no partner, just like the hey. Hein am levada dishkon. The Jewish people are hein, we're by ourselves, we have no partner. The only one that's there to help us and protect us is HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hashem. But I think there's a common theme throughout what I call the summer parshas that maybe we can learn from, maybe we could take from, maybe that's the message of what's going on. I'm from America, so the summer starts in June. Parshas Ba'alayisva after Shavuot in London. Depends, the weather's been amazing, but usually they say it's about a week or two. Parsha Ba'alot Echa, the Jewish people come to Moshe and they tell Moshe, we remember the meat, remember the fish, remember the amazing food we had in Mitzrayim. Now again, they were a bunch of slaves. Even in the Midbar, they had animals, they had cattle, they had sheep, they could have gotten meat. They were complaining, they were looking to complain. What do we remember? We remember the amazing food. We don't want the man. And the Mefarshim at length try and figure out what was really the problem. One of the most common answers is, they weren't able to see the food. You go certain places, they have a smorgasbord. They have an amazing array of food. And the person piles their plate to the top. And they finish that plate. Ah! They say if somebody's in the kitchen picking at the food, they'll eat three times as much and not be as full. Because they didn't have a big plate of food in front of them. Ah, I finished this plate. It's not good. They say you're on a diet. Don't sit there in the kitchen picking. The Bnei Yisrael, they told Hashem, Hashem, it's very nice we have the man and it tastes like whatever we want. But ultimately, we can't see it. They say a blind person, he doesn't become, he's not full, he's not satiated because he can't see the food. Hashem, we want to be able to see it. If we don't see it, it's not the same. Starts off this concept of perspective. How do we look at things? How do we view them? We want to be able to see it, to enjoy it. Otherwise, it's not about the end result. It's about how we view things. We could spend an hour or two just discussing what was going on over there. Hita'avu ta'ava, they desired a desire. They created their own ta'ava, their own desire. We have a natural desire. Yetzer has maybe for women, for certain things. We don't have a natural desire to smoke, to gamble. They created that desire that they wanted for the food. Because their perspective was, that's what we want, that's what we need. And ultimately, once you decide in your mind you need something, that's what happens. You need it. And you will change reality, you'll see things in a certain way to fit into what you wanted to say. And we see that very poignantly in the next parasha, Parashat Shelach. Moshe sends out the spies. Go to Eretz Israel and see what the land is like, what it's going to be like. And we all know, the Meragim come back with a bad report. It's a land, it's a beautiful land. Look at the fruit, it's humongous. But it's Eretz Ochelet Yoshveh, it's a land that eats its inhabitants. And the Mefarshim say, what does that mean? That it's a land that eats its inhabitants. And they say, there was a bunch of funerals going on. Constantly there were funerals, or some of the Mefarshim say, the people, they would, if someone passed away, they would keep them in a cave. And then when a gadol, when someone very chashuv passed away, then everybody would bury their people together. And the Jewish people saw hundreds of thousands of people by a funeral. They say it was a funeral of Eov, and then everybody else brought out their metim, their dead relatives, and it was, and they see all these people died. Wow, it's a terrible land. The Stipler says, if you think about it for a second, if there's a land that every single day there's funerals, you're not going to get hundreds of thousands of people. You got to live life. You got to go to work. The fact that this is happening, obviously, this is something unique. This isn't something very common. Obviously, Hashem's doing this so that you don't get caught. 12 spies, and you don't get, no one sees you, no one pays attention. We know when Yeshua sends the spies, 2 spies get caught within a couple of hours. What was the problem with the Meraglim? They had a certain agenda. They had in their mind what they had, and they saw what they wanted to see. They saw what they wanted to see. They saw the problems. If you were to give them a lie detector test, it would come out 100% true. The problem was they were nogea b'davar. They had a conflict of interest. And ultimately we're all like that. Before we started this year, they were mentioning the football game last night. And I myself, obviously I'm an American, but I grew up, I'm a big sports fan. And there's times where I tell myself, you know, what are you doing? You're reading this article, they could have traded this one, they should have done that, they should have substituted, the coach did it. It's not going to change, it's a waste of time. It's a waste of time, you could sit, you could learn, what are you doing? And then I tell myself, you know what? Everyone needs to relax. It's kosher fun. It's not such a big deal, alright? As long as you're not doing it for hours on end, it's not such a big deal. And then I tell myself, you know what? If you're a rabbi who knows sports, it's pretty cool. So first I tell myself, shouldn't be doing it. And then I tell myself, it's not so bad. And now I've convinced myself, it's a mitzvah. I have to. If you want, you can convince yourself anything. It depends on how you view things. The Meraglim, they had a skewed view. They saw what they wanted to see. We do the same thing all the time. All the time we do this. We convince ourselves that what we're doing is 100% right. It's a mitzvah. I have to do it this way. I have to say it this way. I have to make a stand. The person that's hardest to be honest with, ultimately, is ourselves. Are we being honest with the way we're looking at things? Then you have Parshas Korach. Korach, the Mefarshim, trying to figure out what led him astray. What was the problem? And the answer, see, somebody mentioned his wife. Yeah, that's true as well. I heard a story one time. There was a guy in shul, and they came over and they say, Yamod. And he says, no. They say, no, you have to take the aliyah. You can't say no. So he says, okay. They say, Yamod. He says, Rachel ben Shlomo. They said, no. What's your name? He says, Rachel ben Shlomo. He said, your name is Rachel ben Shlomo? He says, my account told me everything has to be my wife's name. Ultimately, Korach, what led him astray? You're right, it was his wife, and Ben Pelet, his wife Satan. We're all ultimately in our wife's debt, and they're the ones who are on their name. But the Mefarshim say, what led Korach astray? Enav hito. His eyes led him astray. That's what they say. Enav hito, his eyes led him astray. He saw the kavod, he saw the respect, and that's what he wanted. The Gemara, at the end of Masechet Tamid, Daf, I believe it's Lamed Beis. That was a very interesting story. It tells over there a bunch of discussions Alexander the Mokedon, Alexander the Great, had with the Chachamim, with the rabbis. And it tells a story that Alexander the Great wanted to go to a certain place and conquer it. But he didn't know how to get there. It was dangerous. And he comes to the Chacham, he says, how do I get there? And they tell him, it's not worth it for you. He says, I'm going. Tell me how. And they give him the secret, how you do this with the elephants, and you go over there, and you go. They tell him how to get there. Alexander the Great gets to this place. And the Gemara says, it's a tribe of Amazon women. It's all women. And Alexander is preparing to attack. They send a message. Your Highness, Alexander the Great, what are you doing? If you come and you conquer us, everyone knows you want to conquer the world. You want to be the most prestigious, greatest leader of all time. If you conquer us, it's not very impressive for you. You beat a bunch of women. And if you lose, if there's a lot of casualties, if you lose the battle, that's embarrassing. What do you gain? You have nothing to gain. Why should we die? Why should there be casualties? Alexander the Great says, okay, you made a good point. I won't attack you. But I'm here. At least feed me. Feed my army. So they send him 2 loaves of bread made out of gold. He sends back a message, I need to eat. They say, aren't you Alexander the Great who wants to only have the world full of gold and everything unbelievable? And he said, till I came to this Amazon tribe of women, I didn't understand, but now they taught me a very important lesson. The Gemara continues, Alexander the Great's traveling, and they have some salty fish, him and his soldiers. And there's a stream of water, they start drinking from the stream of water. And it tastes magnificent. And they try and figure out where this is coming from. They say this is something very unique. And they follow the stream and they come to these gates. And they try and get let in. And they say, we can't let you in. He says, I'm Alexander the Great, open up. They say, Zeh Asher LaHashem Tzadikim Yavo Vo. This is the gates of heaven. On this world, there's certain entrances into Gan Eden. If you go to Marat HaMachpelah, sometimes you'll see outside people davening. You're trying to figure out, what are they doing outside? Go inside! Right outside, the Ramban says, that's one of the petah, that's one of the openings to Gan Eden. Also they say, it's usually closed to the Jews, but a few times a year it's open. You go where they have the kever of Yitzchak, obviously everything's in caves underneath. They just put random places, like, Abraham, it's not where they're actually the tomb, it's not where they're buried. It's all underneath in a cave and there's slots or whatever it is. But where Yitzchak is, they say that where that's normally closed off to the Jews, that's the mosque that the Arabs made, that's where the entrance, you smell over there. I went there one time, Rosh Chodesh, Elul, they open it up, or they open it up on Chol HaMoed to the Jews. You go and you smell a little bit, it smells great. That's the entrance to Gan Eden on this world. So they tell Alexander the Great, you can't come in these gates. It's Gan Eden. He says, well, I came here. At least give me something. And he gets given a skull. The rush. He says it was an eyeball. He gets given a skull, says the Gemara. What's he supposed to do with the skull? He travels back home. And he's trying to understand why they give him a skull. So he calls the Chachamim. And he says, what's with the skull? He took the skull, he put it on a scale, and on the other side he put gold. The skull was a regular skull, weighed more than the gold. He put more gold, no matter how much gold he put, the skull weighed more. He said, Rachamim, what's the deal? They said, put some dirt, put it on the eyes, and you'll see it won't weigh anything. Alexander the Great takes some dirt, puts it on the eyes, says the Gemara. And said, it weighed nothing. He said, I don't understand. Well, why did they give this to me? And they said, they want to teach you a lesson. The human body, whatever it sees, it wants. But ultimately, a skull, when you close the eyes, when you put dirt, when you close someone's eyes and their niftar, they pass away. They no longer want. They're born, the baby's born, and they say the hands are clenched. It wants to grab everything. It passes away. Its hands are open. Because you can't take anything with you. Alexander the Great was taught this lesson. You want to see, you want to conquer, you want everything. You want bread of gold. What are your priorities? What are you taking with you? Korach, what led him astray? And Avitzo, his eyes led him astray. He saw, he wanted the kavod, the respect. Last week's parsha, the Jewish people complained once again. Hashem sends out the snakes. They start killing the Jewish people. Hashem tells Moshe, Sedecha Seraf, make a snake, simota al nes, put it up on a banner. Most people think a nes means a miracle. You say every day in the Amidah, Tika b'shofar gadol l'cherotenu, blow the big shofar, v'san nes. 99 out of 100 people I ask, what does it mean v'san nes? Make a miracle. Oh, raise up a banner. What Moshe is told, that's ultimately what a nisayon. Hashem Elokim nisayed Abraham, God tested Abraham. A nisayon, when you have a test in your life, health-wise, financially, family, a nisayon comes from the root word nes. It's a challenge. It's going to raise you up. It's going to make you greater. And they have to look at the snake, and when the snake, they look at the snake, they get better. And Old Mepharshim asks, the snake, that's what's killing them. No, but when they look up, they're able to look up at Hashem and understand Hashem is the one who's healing them. The symbol for doctors is a snake around the stick. Why? Because they once understood, it's not, I'm the shaliach, I'm the messenger. We have to look up to Hashem, look up high, understand where it's coming from. Once again, you have the concept of perception and seeing what, where, why, when. What are you seeing? You're seeing a snake on a stick, or you're seeing Hashem who's healing you? And then we get to this week's parasha. Vayar Balak ben Tzippor. Balak ben Tzippor sees. He sees what happened to Sichon Melech HaEmori. Sichon from the term of Lasuach. Vayetzed Yitzchak Lasuach Basadeh. Sichon had this power of Lasuach, of talking. Melech HaEmori is the Melech of Emori, Le'emor, of those who talk. And he saw, even with that power, they couldn't beat Moshe Rabbeinu. So he has to hire the best. He wants to hire Bilam. Bilam, our rabbis tell us why. Why was he given such a high level? Lokam bi Yisrael ki Moshe od. Nobody amongst the Jews was as great as Moshe. Lokam bi Yisrael, but there was by the Goyim, there was Bilam. He was the same level of prophecy as Moshe Rabbeinu. Panim v'panim, he speaks to Hashem face to face. How could it be? Rasha! The Gemara says he used to have relations with his donkey. Rasha! How could it be at such a high level of prophecy in the Mepharshim? Tell us why? Because Hashem wanted it to be that the Goyim won't come and say, hey, of course the Jews are great. They had a Moshe. You give us someone like that, we'd also be amazing. Look at the leader they had. Hashem says, I'll give you a leader. They had a Bilam. And Bilam, what was his koach? Obviously his koach was in his mouth to curse. But every single time, he wants to curse the Jews. We see over and over. He has to see them. He has to look at them to be able to curse them. And why does Balak hire Bilam? They say, Matzah min bimino. Balak vayar, he saw, he was able to see what the koach was of the Jews. He was able, he was an anti-Semite, a rabid anti-Semite. He saw and he hated. He saw what happened. But he didn't get the message. He saw what happened. Sichon melech Amori, Og melech Bashan. Don't get involved. You're from Moab. The Jews won't start up with you. He hated the Jews. He saw what happened, but he didn't get the message. He had his own perspective. He saw what he wanted to see. And he convinced the people, we got to fight the Jews. We got to do something. So he hires Bilam. Bilam, who also has this Ayn Ra. The Mishnah Perkei Avot, one of the longest Mishnayot. And all Pirkei Avot says, "Kol mi sheyesh biyado shoshad dvarim elu, whoever has these three things, mitalmidav shel Avraham Avinu, he's a student of Avraham. Shoshad dvarim acherim, if he has three other things, hu mitalmidav shel Bilam Harasha, he's a student of Bilam Harasha. What are these three things? Ayin tova, if you're a student of Avraham, you have a good eye. Ruach nemucha, a spirit that is low. Your humble nefesh shefela. Talmidav shel Avraham Avinu, you're a student of Avraham. But ayin ra, ruach yevoha, nefesh lechava, talmidav shel Bilam Harasha." And then you would think the Mishnah will end over there. And then he starts asking questions. Ma ben tamidav shel Avraham Avinu, tamidav shel Bilam Harasha. Starts asking questions. I don't know if you see this too often in the Pirkei Avot. Tana's asking questions. What's the difference? He just told us the difference. Tamidav shel Avraham Avinu, ochlim ba'alam hazeh. Students of Avraham, they eat in this world. And he quotes a pasuk. And tamidav of Bilam Harasha, yoshim gehenam ve'yodin le'ber shachat. And again he quotes psukim. Now, it's very interesting that who is the Mishnah comparing Bilam to Avraham? I would have thought Moshe. We just said the whole idea of Bilam was to combat Moshe, if you will. Abraham Avinu, and there's a lot of similarities between Abraham and Bilam. They both get up early in the morning, and Rashi even says, Bilam, you think you're going to get up early? Abraham Avinu already got up early. He's going to fight your getting up early. We both see that they had Ne'arim, they had people who travel with them. Abraham has Eliezer and Yishmael. Bilam also has a Na'ar. Who stops Bilam? The Malach? Who's the one who stops Abraham to Ayar? Yomer Malach Hashem Abraham, Atishtach Yedachal Anar. Again, there's a Malach. There's a lot of similarities between Bilam and Abraham. Why Abraham? And what does the Mishnah say is the first bad character trait of Bilam? Ayin Ra. Once again, I didn't see anything before Hashem say this about the summer theme, if you will. What they see, the perspective. But you see it in Ba'alot Echa with the meat. You see it in Shalach Lecha with the spice. You see it in Korah. You see it with the Saraf. You see it over here. You even see it at the end of the book of Bamidbar. The Jewish people, Gad, Chatzi, Menashe, and Shevi Ruven, they see the land. They see the land, the Yarden, and they want to live there. Again, their eyes led them astray. You can live in Eretz Yisrael, nothing better. We want over here for our cattle. Ayin Ra, bad eye. And the Mishnah says, you'll be a student of Abraham Avinu. What do you mean a student of Abraham or a student of Bilam? You can never be as bad as Bilam. But you can be just like them. I saw one of the Mefarshim say, what's the comparison? What's the difference between Reb Chaim Kanievsky and Saddam Hussein and Osama bin Laden? What's the comparison? You know, one's in Gehenna, one's in Gan Eden. What's the question?
Yimach Shemo.
Yimach Shemo. One's a tzaddik, one's a rasha. What's the ma ben tell me? What's the Mishnah asking? And the Mefarshim answers something very scary. You think we're talking about a bunch of Nazis and a bunch of tzaddikim sitting, coming, learning Torah? There's a story. There was a Nazi. He grabbed the Jew, and he said, "One of my eyes is a glass eye. If you can tell me which one's the glass eye, which one's the real eye, I'll let you live." You heard this story recently?
Yes.
Really? Oh. I'll say it again. Maybe I heard it different.
Maybe you can see it from a different
angle. Very good. Yeah. He said, he picked the right one. Nazi said, how'd you know? He says, one has evil in it, one doesn't. One, they're able to see evil, and one doesn't. He knew which one was the glass eye. They say the eyes are the pathway to the neshama. They go hand in hand. The type of person you are, you can see in people's eyes. Some people, you see that they have crazy eyes. You stay away. Ayin Ra. What's the comparison? We're not talking about Avi, Tzadikim, and Rishon. We're talking about the same people in the Bet Midrash. Good guys, they come to shul every day. Some are students of Abraham, some are students of Bilam. Some have an ayin tova, they only see good. When they hear, this one is doing amazing business, he's making millions. This one, his kid got engaged, his kid got married, he had a grandchild. Mazel tov, they're happy. And some say, oh, another one? What about my child? You know how hard I worked? This guy showed up, young guy, he's making money. I put in my time for 20, 30 years. I'm not making that type of money. We're talking about people in the basement, the same people. Some are students of Abraham Avinu. Some are students of Bilam. Some get the message. And some see things the way they want to see them. Bilam, Hashem comes to him and says, don't go, don't go, don't. But what does he see? He sees what he wants to see. Oh, don't go with this delegation, maybe a more chashuv delegation. Don't go with this one, I can go with another one. He saw what he wanted to see. The donkey saw more than Bilam, but he doesn't get the message. Do we do the same thing? Hashem sends us a message. Sends us a message. But we see what we want to see. Oh, it's normal, it happens. Ah, I got a bad, I got mad, this one messed me up. If the same thing keeps on happening, Hashem's sending you a message. You can tighten it up any way you want. You could have excuses to convince yourself. Ayin Ra. Means you have a bad eye. You're seeing what you want to see. You're not seeing what you're meant to be seeing. There's a lot more to say, but just heard a beautiful idea. The end of the parasha, we know that Pinchas comes and he kills Zimri. Says the Chidal, Pi Kabbalah, who were Pinchas and Zimri? This was Yitzchak and Esav. The gematria of Pinchas is 208. The gematria of Yitzchak is 208. And Yitzchak has to go and avenge the fact that Esav constantly scammed him. He tzayed b'fiv. And Esav, Ayin Ra, the gematria of Ayin Ra is 400. How many people is Esav traveling with? 400 men. Because that's what he wanted. He had Ayin Ra. He always saw what Yaakov had and he wanted to get it. And now Pinchas, Yitzchak has to avenge that. And we all know Pinchas Zu Eliyahu. You have a Brit Milah, we know Eliyahu Navi comes. Pinchas Zu Eliyahu. Eliyahu is Gematria 52. And 208 is 260. Ayin, the Gematria of Ayin is 130. We have two. Ayin and Ayin, 130, 130. 260. Says the Bnei Yisaskar, every month corresponds to a different body part. The month of Tammuz and the month of Av correspond to your right eye and your left eye. The challenge of these months is the perspective. How do we see things? Obviously on a simple level, it's the months that the weather is the nicest in most of the world and there's a lack of tznius and we have to control our eyes. What we see, usually in London, Baruch Hashem, it's not as bad as many other places in the world. But we have to control our ta'avah, our desire. But on a deeper level, we have to put things in perspective. We have to see the right thing. We have to look at things properly. We have to be mitaken. These months, fix these months. These months, they say, are controlled by Esav. He used to have Elul and Yaakov fought back to get Elul, but the months of Tammuz and Av, those are the months that the Esav controls. The Meragelim, the spies, they wanted kavod, they wanted respect, they wanted to stay important dignitaries. Korach wanted respect. Didn't have Anava. The gematria of Anava is the same as Samael. The Yetzahara, Esav's Korach. Are we looking for kavod? Do we see what we want to see? Or do we understand we have to have Ayin Tov like Avraham Avinu? Ruach Nemucha. Nefesh Shefela. Ruach, Nefesh, Ayin. The beginning of each letter spells Na'ar. They had with them a Na'ar. Na'ar lo yamish b'toch ha'ohel. We have to make sure we're also Na'ar. We stay in the Beit Midrash, we do the right things, we put our perspective properly. That's the challenge of these months. So I'll just end with the story that I heard yesterday. Many years ago, there was a big conference of Askanim and Rabbanim. And Rav Tzadka, Rosh Yeshiva, Parat Yosef Yeshiva was there. And one of the Askanim got up and he berated him, he embarrassed Rav Tzadka in front of everybody. Rav Tzadka's brother-in-law, also Chashav Rav, was there. And he was furious. And Rav Tzadka walks in on him during the break. And he says, don't worry, I'm writing a letter. This Askan is not leaving before he apologizes in front of everybody. He says, don't worry. He said, what do you mean, don't worry? He says, you know, the Gemara says, ne'elavim, those that are embarrassed, enam eshivin, they don't respond. He says, let me ask you a question. Why doesn't it say, ha-ne'elav? Why is it ne'elavim? He says, you know why? Because sometimes, it's not only the person that was embarrassed, his family also gets embarrassed. But enam eshivim, if collectively together, they don't answer, then Hashem rewards them. What's going on in Eretz Yisrael? We're all ne'elavim. We can't believe it. The response to Ayin Ra, the response to evil, is to do good. To have an Ayin Tov. They want to destroy, we have to build. Eretz Yisrael, they're taking literally and they're building settlements, if you will. We have to build spiritually. What can we do over here? What's our response? Ayin Tov, to be a Talmid of Abraham Avinu. To mitaken these months of Ayin, of the eyes. To work on ourselves, to be honest with ourselves. to have the proper perspective. There's a lot more to say, but I run out of time. Mirza Hashem will strengthen our Ayin Tov. We'll be a student of Abraham Avinu. We'll learn from the mistakes of the summer Parashiyot. We'll understand that Alexander the Great got this lesson. The eye desires for kavod. We have to have, be humble, ruach, nefesh, neshama, ayin tov, and be'ezat Hashem, and that's zechut. We'll have Mashiach Yekenu. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.